Is 3i Atlas still a comet or is it something else? What happens to the data from NASA and China? Will Earth go through the tail of 3i Atlas? And in Q&A Plus, what's my favorite sci-fi concept? All this and more in this question show. It's time for the question show. Your questions, my answers. As always, wherever you are across my channel, if a question pops in your brain, just write it down, I'll gather them up, and I'll answer them here. This is our part three 3i Atlas special, where I tackled even more questions about 3i Atlas. So maybe there'll be a part four. Who knows? All right, let's get into the questions. Gregory File. Fraser, my feed is so full of this 3i Atlas talk, I need a grounded, educated touch on it. Do you still think that 3i Atlas is a comet? If so, could you elaborate? 2 weeks ago, we released a 30-minute long video where I went through every single major paper that has been released on Comet 3i Atlas. And so did you see that video? Because that was my best shot at this thing is a comet by going right back to the original sources. And, you know, in this case, I was reporting on the work of hundreds of astronomers, dozens of observatories, space telescopes, missions. The astronomical community thinks it's a comet. There's a very small group of people led by Abby Loeb, mostly, who are saying that it is possibly not a comet and something else, but they're not offering any evidence that says that it is doing anything that a comet can't do. It's just circumstantial evidence. Like, oh, you know, isn't it weird that it is going to go kind of close to Mars and kind of close to the Sun and kind of close to Earth and kind of close to Jupiter? Then only a spacecraft could do that. Well, you know, like a comet can do that, right? Isn't it weird that it's 5 degrees off of the angle of the plane of the ecliptic? Only a spacecraft can do, you know, a comet could do that. So, you know, it has to do something that a comet can't do. It hasn't done any of that right now. And, you know, and I think I've mentioned this before, like Abby Loeb is the gold star. He is gold standard. He is doing the sort of the most rigorous scientific job of jumping to a unsubstantiated conclusion than out there, right? He is citing his sources. He is writing science papers. They are showing up on archive. And so he's doing his level best to cherry pick evidence to sort of meet the conclusion that he is trying to promote. And the scientific community disagrees with him. And my job is to report on the scientific consensus. But then there is this whole entire cottage industry of people who are just making stuff up from whole cloth. Like they are just, it stopped behind the sun. It's beaming transmissions. It's broken apart into 5 pieces, like all of this stuff. And literally they're not doing science. They're not observing it with their eyeballs. They're just making stuff up, because then you can release a bunch of this stuff and you can get people to watch it and you can make money from it. That's it. That's what they're doing. And so you're going to have to find scientific sources. You're going to have to find reputable sources that you can trust. And like, I know it's more fun to say that it's an alien spacecraft. Wouldn't that be cool? Why are you going to be so close-minded, man? Because, you know, I want it to be aliens more than anybody, but I want to know with evidence. I want to know for sure. I don't want to just live in my, you know, with copium and hope and dream, and then it goes away, and then wait for the next one. Everybody freaks out of it again. We all get excited that it's aliens. No, like that is not productive. So, you know, it is the most important question that we can possibly ask. Are we alone in the universe? But I want to know the answer. I want to know the real answer, the right answer, the correct answer. I don't want to know the answer when I've got like a vague hint and then I just shut down my mind and not listen to any other evidence. No. So yes, it's still a comet. Yes. It's always been a comet. It's still a comet. It's going to continue to be a comet until it leaves the solar system. And then we're going to find 10 more of these every year, thanks to Vera Rubin. And then you will be bored. We will be all bored of interstellar objects in the way that we're bored of comets, in the way that we're bored of asteroids. We're bored of asteroids. We're not bored of comets because comets can still look cool in the sky. And speaking of comets, go out and take a look at Comet Lemon. 1031 Productions, LLC. Since 3i Atlas has been behind the sun, has been hit with a few CMEs, do you think they'll use this to explain how the Joker spun around and is now headed to Earth? Lol. It's not going to spin around and head towards the Earth, obviously. It is going to be following the trajectory that it has been following so far, which is precisely predicted by the laws of gravity. And so it is going to return, it is going to pop out on the far side of the sun exactly where it was predicted to come out. But, you know, people have done the math and they know where it's going to go. That it is a 5 kilometer across chunk of ice and rock. It has millions, billions, trillions of tons. You know, it's massive a mountain. It is going 58 kilometers per second. I forget what its speed is at perihelion, like 70 kilometers per second. It's really fast. It is faster than anything we've ever been able to send in the solar system. And so we'll just keep going. Just going to keep going, following that trail, and then it's going to head out of the solar system. It will fade away, and then we will never see it again. Modus or Ali, how would you react to 3i Atlas changing course and starts heading towards the Earth? I would be shocked and amazed and would be quite excited because that would mean that it is in fact probably a spacecraft. That would be amazing. Can you imagine how wonderful that would be if we could see that there was a spacecraft heading our way? Now, obviously, it would be a little unnerving. You're like, whoa, why is it coming our way? But we would get confirmation that we're not alone in the universe. And so like that would that be worth it? The annihilation of humanity in exchange for an answer to the question, are we alone in the universe? Don't make me choose. Not NEC 202. Why won't NASA and China release the data? NASA has released the data that they have. So, and in fact, the European Space Agency has. And China, I don't think, has any data. So the data that I'm sure you're talking about is, why don't we have the data from the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter? And the problem is that the US government is shut down right now, and that all of the people who are working with the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter were sent home and told to not touch their email, to not do any work. If you do any work, then you are in violation of the furlough and you could be fired when you get back. And it appears the current administration is really eager to fire people right now. And so people are being incredibly cautious. But we got images from the European Space Agency because they're not shut down right now. They're still operating. And so they have 2 spacecraft that were able to attempt observations of the comet. The ExoMars mission, which is normally looking at the atmosphere of Mars, but it was able to make long exposures of the comet and was able to see the tail of the comet. And then the Mars Express mission, which was not able to resolve the comet, but it is only able to make like 2 second exposures, like very short exposures. So it just wasn't able to do a long enough exposure to be able to image anything. The Chinese don't have any spacecraft at Mars. Their Tianwen is wrapped up. I don't know about the orbiter, but they just haven't released it. If they took any pictures, which I'm not even sure they did. You know, none of the spacecraft at Mars are really designed to observe comets 30 million kilometers away. The best things that we have to be able to observe comets are the telescopes we have here on Earth, the Hubble Space Telescope, James Webb, and then the ground-based observatories. And they've all done their pictures. And now we're waiting for the comet to appear on the other side of the sun, and then they will all take more pictures because there's many, many new things to discover about this comet. So in about 2 weeks, you will be deluged in new pictures of 3i Atlas from all of the space telescopes that we have. And middle of December, it's going to make its close approach to the Earth, be about 2 astronomical units away. It'll still have a tail, and that'll be the very best time. We will get the absolute best pictures of this object as it is passing. So just like, hang tough, be patient, don't listen to the people who are just making stuff up on the internet. It's time to shout out the new $5 patrons and above: Simon Druce, David Burden, Christopher Watt, RMK, PW Minnesota, Herbert Wright, Jeremar, Chuck Anzulowicz, Sean Griffin, and Stephen Boyle. Join the club at patreon.com/universe today. This Aussie says, how can backyard telescopes give us better images? Riddle me that. Backyard telescopes are not giving you better images. So this is, again, people making stuff up. You know, the very, very best backyard telescopes. There are some people with some really fancy, wonderful backyard telescopes, and they are maybe able to see the comet, maybe able to see a little tiny tail, or were able to see it before it went behind the sun. But it is nothing compared to the Hubble Space Telescope, James Webb, or the Gemini Telescope. Like, the Gemini Telescope pictures were some of the best ones. That is a telescope that is 8.4 meters across. It is a ridiculously big telescope. It has an adaptive optic system. The backyard observers are, in many cases, making stuff up. And the ones who are legitimately showing you images that they're taking, they're just dots in the sky. Maybe a little bit of a tail. They're not doing any spectroscopy on the tail the way they're doing with Webb and Hubble and the Gemini telescope. Snazzy shoes. Will Earth's orbit take us anywhere near the 3I Atlas tail remnants? No, we're going to be about 2 astronomical units away from the tail. That said, 2 of our spacecraft, maybe 3, are going to get very close to the tail and maybe even fly through the tail. So we will get some observations of the tail from within from some of those spacecraft. The Hera mission, the Europa Clipper, and the JUICE mission are all well positioned to analyze the tail. The Europa Clipper is probably the best of these. And so it's got the right scientific instruments on board to be able to examine the tail. And we'll be able to, you know, determine some of the chemistry of the tail and, you know, be able to learn more about the star system that this thing formed. Because again, like, the wondrous thing about 3I Atlas is that it formed in another star system that, you know, when you look at the raw material that we have to work with here in the solar system, all of the meteorites, all of the asteroids, all of the comets, they all started with the same chemical soup. There are variations, but they rhyme. And so, you know, every time we find a new meteorite, oh, what do you know? It's 4.6 billion years old. Oh, what do you know? It's made of roughly the same kinds of chemicals. Oh, it's got the same kinds of amino acids, right? When we look at comets, we detect the presence of, you know, slightly different ratios of carbon dioxide to carbon monoxide to water to nickel to iron to cyanide. Like, all of these things are present. So now we've got something that came from somewhere else that formed billions of years before the sun, and is giving us a hint into the earlier universe and a place that is very unlike the solar system. And this is a wonderful opportunity for us to be able to understand just a little piece of what other star systems are like. This Aussie says, how many comets with sunward tails have you seen? It's not a normal comet by any stretch of the imagination. When comets are really far away from the sun, when they've been discovered very early on in their orbit, then you get the sublimation of material. Since you get a heating on the side of the comet that is facing the sun. And that causes jets of material to start to blast material off into space. Now, this comet is not close enough to the sun that the solar wind is starting to pick up the material in its coma and stretch it away from the comet. And so what you get is, you know, if you imagine like a laser is heating up the surface of a ball of ice, right? The sun is the laser and it's heating up the ball of ice. Then the material is going to sublimate off of the surface of the comet and just kind of drift off into space. And so the comet is moving along. The sun is there, right? It's heating it up and you get this just material that is, you know, just starting to percolate off the surface of the comet. And that starts to go into orbit around the comet, and that gets you the coma. And the comet is turning, but, you know, whichever is the part that is facing the sun, you're going to get this additional material. And this is not an unusual thing. It's not never been seen before. And then over time, as it gets closer to the sun, then the solar wind picks up and you start to see the material streaming away from the comet, which is exactly what they saw with 3I Atlas. You can see the pictures from the Gemini telescope. You're seeing this tail. When it flew past Mars and it was seen by the ExoMars mission, it had a tail exactly like what you would expect. And I can't give you a 100% guarantee, but I'll give you a 99.999% guarantee that when it pops out the other side of the sun, it'll have a tail. It'll be facing away from the sun. And then it will continue on until it sort of goes past the Earth in December and then goes past Jupiter in January. and then fades away and heads off into the cosmos. Nick Cunningham, Fraser, are you tired of everyone asking 100th Trey Atlas questions? No, like, so the thing is like, obviously I need to stop getting baited by the people who are reacting to the nonsense videos that are on the internet. Like someone's like, it broke up and it's now in four pieces that are moving together. It has stopped and has turned direction. But people are watching that. And then they're like, was that real? Right? And like the person just made it up and then is accepting no responsibility for freaking people out just so they can make a buck. And that's really frustrating. And so I feel like I have to jump in and help. I have to help dissuade people from this sort of perspective that has been inflicted upon them. And so, you know, I would love to answer just more just general, genuine, you know, like if we hadn't gone down this, it's an alien spacecraft rabbit hole, then there would be I would still be getting tons of 3A Alice questions. They would just be legitimate questions based on real science that people want more nuanced answers about. That would be the best. That would be my dream situation, as opposed to having to put out fires where people are, you know, getting excited by nonsense. Darren Green, do you have a favorite sci-fi concept? I kind of do, actually. And I sort of can't, I don't know what the term for this is, but if you've played the Mass Effect series and you've got the idea of the Reapers, that there is this primordial ancient precursor species that is an existential threat to the survival of the universe. They sort of cover that again in Alistair Reynolds' books, the Revelation Space series. I really enjoyed that. They cover that in the Culture series. So I really enjoy this idea of, you know, it's like space opera, you know, Foundation, this vast scale, and that there's this kind of existential threat from something older and malevolent. I kind of really enjoy those kinds of stories. So yeah, I'd say that's my favorite. You know, Mass Effect Revelation Space is my favorite. All right, those were all the questions that we had this week. Thank you everyone who asked your questions during the live chat, everybody who put your questions into the YouTube comments. Now, normally we do the live show once a week on Mondays, but I'm going to be traveling this week, so I'm not really sure when it's going to be. I'll put a live event here on the channel when things have settled down and I know when I'm going to be able to do the live stream. Now, I'm going to talk about a very important video that you absolutely should watch, but first, I'd like to thank our patrons. Thanks to Abe Kingston, Barely Grooving, Brian Bodie, Caredwin, Chuck Hawkins, Commander Bialok, Cy Nielsen, Dark Finga, Dave Verbaugh, David Giltinen, David Matz, Evan Pro, Greg Feely, James Clark, Jeremy Mattern, Jim Burke, Jordan Young, Josh Schultz, Marcel Smits, Michael Purcell, OneStepForAnimals.org, Paul Robach, Ren Kaidu, Richard Williams, Sean Sargent, Stephen Fowler Munley, Team 49, Telescopes Canada, and Wolfgang Klotz, who support us at the Master of the Universe level, and all our patrons. All your support means the universe to us. So Hank Green, who is a prolific podcaster and video maker and business creator and all of that, came up with a great video about why it's never aliens, and sort of went into three really important reasons why we always seem to think it's aliens and yet it never is. And it was terrific. Like, he really boiled down both our enthusiasm for it to be aliens with the sort of reasons why our brains play tricks on us, on the reasons why it never really turns out to be aliens. And so, like, the first thing is, like, we really got to acknowledge how enthusiastic we all are about the possibility of there being other intelligent civilizations out there in the cosmos. Like a lot of people think I'm always so negative about aliens, but it is literally the driving reason why I run this channel, why I've chosen my career of being a journalist. I am looking for the truth. I'm looking for an answer to what is the most foundational and fundamental question that I think humanity has ever asked. Are we alone in the universe? And so a question that is that profound requires lots of evidence to know that it is aliens, as opposed to, I really wish it was aliens, and therefore I'm going to suggest that it might be aliens. And he also then goes into this idea that sort of our default existence in this universe is that we don't know the answer to things. That that we encounter unexplained stuff all the time. That is normal. That's our default. And that our default perspective, where do we come from? Where did the universe come from? What happens after we die? Like, just, we just see, I don't know. And yet it's very uncomfortable to say that I don't know, especially when there is something that we really want the answer to be, it's aliens. And the problem is that aliens can explain anything. That, you know, especially if they have magical powers that are beyond the laws of physics as we understand them, then you can use that to explain anything. And people often do, right? Why do we not detect them? Well, because they can hide themselves. Why would they make such a long journey to be able to get to the Earth? Well, because it's easy for them to be able to do. So there are all of these mysteries that we don't have an explanation for. And yet it's really easy to just say, well, aliens did it because aliens can do anything. And then we don't need to worry and we don't need to think about what the real answer is. And that, of course, that short circuits our actual scientific inquiry about the causes of things. And, you know, that fine line, that balance that we need to take, and the one that I totally agree with Hank on this, is that, you know, we must always come at it with an open mind, with fresh enthusiasm, that maybe today is going to be the day that it's aliens, but I'm not going to be fooled. I'm not going to be tricked. I'm not going to see evidence that tells me that it's aliens and believe it without really digging down and finding a proper answer. So this is why, so far, it's never been aliens, and yet we are ready for it to be aliens. We just need to know. And so if you haven't already, like, I'm sure, you know, 1.5 million people have watched this video, but if you haven't watched it already, I highly recommend it, as well as a follow-on video that he did where he sort of gives some more answers to people's responses to his video. So good job, Hank. I 100% agree with you. And like you, I can't wait till we find aliens.